No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
7:03 on a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. That's Pete Fairbanks. Rough outing for the Rays yesterday.
Yeah, he blew the game for the Rays last night.
The second audio clip was also him.
You're listening to the Halford & Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford & Brough of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour two of the program. Adnan Virk is going to join us in just a moment here. MLB Network kickoff hour two. Hour two is brought to you by Primetime Craft Beer. Meticulously brewed for quality and taste, Primetime is full flavor without compromise. You can get some at a liquor store near you, or you can visit the brewery to see how it's made.
And we are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for?
Kintec, to the phone lines we go. Adnan Virk, MLB Network, joins us now on the Halford & Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Morning, Adnan, how are you?
Mike, Jason, I love Pete Fairbanks because I got to visit a few of the teams in spring training in Florida in March. And normally we just do the interviews, you guys know, pretty straightforward. But before we spoke, I said to him, hey, I'm a huge movie guy. He said, okay. I said, old movies. He said, okay. So you know where I'm going with this? He said, yes. So I didn't surprise him. At least he had an idea. And I said, well, every time I see your name, Pete Fairbanks, I think of one thing. He's like, yeah, Douglas. I'm like, exactly. Douglas Fairbanks, a silent screen legend from the 1920s and 1930s. Any resemblance? He said, no. I said, have you at least seen The Mask of Zorro? He said, yes. He said, when you have a name like Fairbanks, you have to look up what the other Fairbanks are up to. And I said, how often do people say to you, hey, any relation to Douglas Fairbanks? And he's like, pause. He says, well, you're the first one in a while. I'll be honest. Most baseball people are not talking about Douglas Fairbanks. But I'm a Pete Fairbanks fan for life. And we ended up talking movies. We talked Oppenheimer. We talked, I think, The Holdover. So he's a great guy. Good sound there. I hope he bounces back after last night.
Douglas Fairbanks, the king of Hollywood. I'm just learning about him right
yes.
now, courtesy of Wikipedia.
If you knew that off the top of your head, Mike, it would have been very impressive.
I didn't. I had no idea who he was. I barely knew who Pete Fairbanks was, to be perfectly honest. But, hey, I want to ask you about one of the games last night, non-Fairbanks related. Did the Boston Red Sox really finish a game in 1 hour and 49 minutes last night?
I was about to say, I don't know what's more shocking. The Red Sox starting pitching right now is the best in baseball. You heard that correctly. Tanner Houck threw a complete game, which never happens in baseball. There's been three of those this year, including Blanco's no-hitter. And the most important one you mentioned, under 2 hours. I mean, that's insane. Now, to be clear, I think it's nice to have quick games as well, for sure. But if I was at that game, I wouldn't be thrilled. Because if, like, I saw one run, there wasn't a lot of action in that game. Pretty bland game. You know, I went and saw the Flyers game Saturday, Flyers-Devils. Tight checking, close game. Playoff atmosphere. Because Philly knew they had to win to at least stay alive. Of course, they're not going to be in the playoffs. But it was a 1-0 game. And afterwards, I was saying to my buddy, I'm like, listen, I'll take a 3-hour game in 4-3 if I could. But, hey, a 2.5-hour 1-0, we'll take it. That is beyond the measure of comprehension. $1.49 for a Red Sox game. Because, again, if you're of a certain age, when you think of the Red Sox, I always think of Red Sox, Yankees, the 0-3, 0-4. Those games would take 4.5 hours. So, like, I never picture Boston being an efficient team. That's pretty wild.
Do you think there was one guy at that game that showed up to that game? He was like, all right, I've been wanting to do this my whole life. I'm going to finally meet the challenge. I'm going to go one beer and one hot dog every inning. And I feel great. I'm ready to roll. I've never been more confident that I can do this. And then he's like, what? Yeah. Three up, three down again? What's going on here, guys? Like, oh, my God, this is going to kill me.
That is hysterical, Jason. I hope there was at least one guy that had that opinion. It's funny, you know, for all the praise around the pitch clock, you know, the people that don't like it are the concessions. They're like, wait, what's that going to be? Hey, no. It's just 9 o'clock. It's already the seventh inning. Come on. So, like, the only people who don't like it are the concessions. They want to make money. And if you're, you know, get delayed at work or there's traffic on the way of the game, then you get annoyed. Before you show up at 7:30 for a 7:07 Eastern game, like, oh, don't worry, plenty of action. But now you show up in the third, like, hey, what the heck happened? But you're right. The image of a guy hoping for – I thought you were going to say some guy who was like, it was his first baseball game. Like, oh, my God, I can't wait. I hope it's like a 4-hour extra inning marathon. I can't wait. And he gets the 149 Tanner Houck complete game.
Is Shohei Ohtani in the clear now?
I think so. You know, when I looked at that story, Jason, I said, because everyone's going to be skeptical no matter what, right? There's always 10% of people go, yeah, but what about this? And I said, he's under the threat of perjury. I mean, he was investigated by the feds. I mean, this doesn't get any more serious than this. You can't say, oh, well, someone will look the other way or something. No. Under the threat of perjury, and he gave up his phone. Like, he could not have been more compliant. So I think we're good now. Like, I can't imagine he's not eating anything at this point. He seemed genuine. He seemed sincere. And some of the questions that we mainly had asked, which was, how did Ipe get access to the accounts, were answered. He set up the account with Ohtani together. They set up the bank account together. And Ipe, it's crazy to think about, imitated Ohtani when he called and set up a car loan and then got access to the funds and then little by little just kept transferring money over. So, you know, I think initially we didn't know what the story was because there was conflicting reports from Ipe. Yeah, I have a gambling problem. Shohei lent me the money. Oh, no, Shohei didn't know anything. Then Shohei gives a statement but didn't give many details. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I feel pretty satisfied. I'm like, this is not the first person who's been ripped off by somebody close to them. Tim Duncan, very famously, was ripped off by one of his best friends. For people who say, well, how could Ohtani not know? You're with somebody 24-7. Well, guess what, folks? There's people committing adultery day in, day out. Husbands and wives live together for 25, 30 years. And somehow, some way, they don't know that their husband or wife had an affair for 12 or 15 or 18 years, whatever it is. So I'm not blown away by that part of it, the lack of trust, how people can be deceitful, how Ipe would use him to that level. But your overarching point, Jason, which is most important, which is Ohtani good? I'm like, yeah, I think he's good. I think he just got screwed, and hopefully he gets his money back.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Is there any chance he's going to get his money back? I mean, he's not going to get it from Ipe. And you know what?
No.
I wouldn't give him a loan if he needs it. But could he get it back from the illegal sports book?
You know, it's a good question. There was a former player, I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been Jake Peavy, who I work with, who again, similar situation, got ripped off by a financial advisor. Something like $20 million. And I think Jake said he didn't get all of it back, but he got some of it back. So my best guess would be if Ohtani got taken for a ride for $16 million, he'll get, let's say, half of that back. He's not going to get all of it back. That's just the way it works. But he should be able to get some portion of it. And I know, for everybody out there listening going, oh, yeah, poor guy, $700 million. Hey, I don't care who you are. Somebody took $16 million from me, I'd be pretty peeved.
We're speaking to Adnan Virk from MLB Network here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Quick glance atop the MLB standings and the New York Yankees with a 13-6 record and a win over the Blue Jays last night. Best start in baseball. And it's a bit surprising to me anyway because they're doing it without the services of Gerrit Cole, who's on the shelf. But they got Verdugo and Soto and Stroman all barking their way to success. The dogs are out of New York. How surprised are you with the Yankees' start to the season?
I'm glad you asked, Mike, because to me it's been the best story in baseball this year. And I know it's a love it or hate it team, and a lot of people hate the Yankees. But exactly what you touched upon, no Gerrit Cole, no ace. The thought to me, at least the motto for this Yankee team would be hold the fort until Victoria Day for us, Memorial Day in America, because then Gerrit Cole should be back around May 2, 4, and June 1st, and then you've got the best pitcher in baseball back. Instead, they're going the other way. They're like, we're going to be like thoroughbreds. We're going to race to the division lead, and then we're going to get Cole back, and that'll be like our trade deadline acquisition, then we'll really take off. Yesterday's game, to me, was particularly impressive because, you know, Stroman pitches well, former Blue Jay, of course, couple runs, five plus, whatever it was, couple strikeouts, looked fine. But then their offense stepped it up when you thought they were done. Like 4-1, Soto chips away at it, Stanton, big home run. They tie it, Trevino, you know, Mays of the wheels are falling off for the Jays reliever. And then Judge, who had been 0-for-12 in the series against Jays pitching and struck out three times yesterday. Like, that's a situation where you feel like it's a fait accompli. This guy's just not seeing the ball well, rips it down the third baseline, huge hit for Judge, 2-run score, Yankees win. So to me, I'm not trying to make too much of one game, but those are the types of wins that great teams do. And the average team goes, we're down 4-1, just wasn't our day. The Yankees keep chipping away. And their offense specifically, Soto's been amazing. I'm like, God, he's been everything and more the Yankees could have hoped to get. And Boris is not going to be re-signing him anytime soon. He'll wait till the year's over. But just wait, $500 million, $600 million, who knows what's going to be. He looks like he's worth every penny because he's a patient hitter. He'll always work a walk. He will obviously hit the ball and do damage with it. Could hit 35, 40 home runs. He's been above average defensively, which has been a knock previously. And he's been a good base runner. And by all accounts, he's been a terrific teammate. So he's been a home run for them. As I said, Judge is yet to get going, but still walking a lot, still capable of doing damage. Stanton looks really good. Volpe is a completely different hitter. Volpe's whiff percentage last year, meaning how many times you struck out, 28%. It's down to 11%. If you can cut your strikeouts down by 17%, that's enormous. So he's figured out, hey, I don't have to hit home runs. Let me just make contact and good things will happen. And even the Yankees collectively have cut their strikeout percentage by 5%. let's quickly touch on the pitching, because without Cole, how are they doing it?
Yeah.
Stroman's been good. Cortez has been good. And Rodon, which is a massive contract, which looked like a disastrous season ago, has been okay. Hasn't been great, but he's been all right. He had a couple good starts, one shaky start. They'll take that from him. And, Yankees look really good right now.
At the other end of the spectrum, two truly putrid teams right now, the Miami Marlins and the Colorado Rockies, 4-15 each. So they're tied for worst team. Who's going to be the worst team when all is said and done? Is it going to be the Marlins? Is it going to be the Rockies? Or is it going to be somebody else?
Good news, Mike. It's not the A's. The A's went again yesterday. They're 8-11.
They're on fire.
Blackburn's been tremendous. Yeah, he's been their ace. He started the season 22 1/3 scoreless innings. That's the third longest stretch ever by an A's pitcher. Think about Dave Stewart, all the great catchers, all the great A's pitchers they've had. So he's been good along with the rest of it.
And a hand up, I need to jump in. The White Sox are 3-15, so they also deserve in this conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say,
well,
my answer is going to be the White Sox. Yeah. They're horrendous. I mean, one of my good buddies at work, producer Mike Wallen, is a huge White Sox fan. He's already given up the season. We're 18 games in. He's like, well, it's been fun. I'm already looking ahead to basketball and football and all the rest of it. It's awful because even their stars don't – like, Luis Robert Jr. is a great player. He got hurt. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. You know, Eloy Jimenez doesn't do anything. Yoan Moncada's hurt. And their pitching's atrocious. I mean, they don't have one guy who's been decent so far. The bullpen's bad. Like, it is going to be an ugly, ugly season on the South Side. So I've got the White – I mean, here's an example. Benintendi they signed, former Red Sox, right? 5 years, $75 million contract. Abysmal. I believe he has like 7 home runs over like 500 at bats. He has been horrible, like a very under the radar, terrible sign. Nobody talks about his Benintendi has done nothing for the White Sox for a year plus. So I would go with the White Sox. Miami just had a terrible start.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll try to dig their way out of it. But if you start 0-9, well, clearly even a 4-15 doesn't feel that much better. And the Rockies, I mean, as usual, the Rocky Horror pitching show. It's a tough watch on all levels. You know, when Kyle Freeland, your ace, goes out there and is getting blitzed, I think he's in the area of like 16. He's supposed to be the ace. It's going to be a long season. One of the few bright spots is Nolan Jones. He's a good young player for them. But, yeah, of those choices you gave me, I'll go White Sox worst, Rockies second, Marlins third worst.
A pronunciation question for you. Is it biopic or biopic?
Excellent question. So I used to think it was biopic, but it is actually biopic.
Biopic.
And I love to correct David Sampson, the former Marlins president, who I appear on the Dan Le Batard show, because he thinks he's so smart, and he's not, and he's smug. And he one time the other day, actually, he said biopic, and I started laughing. I said, well, it's not a biopsy. It is a biopic. So excellent pronunciation. Maybe it's from Don in Penticton, our buddy, my favorite listener of the show.
No,
it is indeed biopic.
This one is courtesy me, because I always go biopic.
Yeah,
but now
I called you on that. I was like, what did you say? Biopic? So it sounds like, it's like, I hope you're going to be okay if you get that biopic.
On the subject of biopics, I want to get your thoughts on the Scorsese biopic on Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Leonardo DiCaprio as Frank Sinatra.
Have those two ever worked together?
They have a relationship, I think.
6 movies so far. And listen, I might spontaneously combust if this thing actually happens. But pardon me for the skepticism. One of the great unfinished projects ever was a movie called Dino. And Tom Hanks is going to play Dean Martin. And my man Marty was going to direct it. And Travolta was going to play Sinatra. And for years they talked about it. Couldn't get the finances. Couldn't get the scheduling. It didn't end up happening. So I saw that news yesterday. And I'm about to explode. Again, I you guys know how much I adore Scorsese, but I also adore Sinatra. I was trying to tell my wife I wanted to live in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is 30 minutes from my house, just because Sinatra lives there. She goes, oh, the schools aren't great, the traffic. I don't know. I just want to be able to say I live in the same city as Frank Sinatra. So I adore Frank. But here's my skepticism. Marty's 81 years old. It normally takes him, if you do the math on this, 3 or 4 years to make a movie. Look at the release dates of his most recent films. You know, Ridley Scott's like 82. He cranks out a movie every year. Marty takes 3 or 4 years. Look at when Killers of the Flower Moon came out, Wolf of Wall Street, Silence, etc. He's made it emphatically clear his next movie is going to be about Jesus. He mentioned this a year ago. He said, a film about Jesus, independent financing, much like his film Silence. He's got to get that done. If you know one thing about Marty, these religious passion projects are very close to him. So let's do the math. Jesus, 3 years. So we're 84 now.
Okay.
And he starts Frank, 85. Like, listen, Kurosawa made films late into his 80s. And I hope Marty lives till he's 100. But I'm just a little skeptical if they can get this thing done. And the other big thing, Tina Sinatra has not given her approval yet.
Right.
So you can't make a Sinatra biopic without Tina saying, yes, you can use all of my dad's music. And again, I adore Sinatra and Scorsese. Do you think Marty's not going to make a warts and all biopic? You don't think he's going to show Frank's philandering and the violence and the mob ties? Of course he is. What else do you expect in a Scorsese movie? So I don't know if Tina's going to go, yeah, go ahead, Marty. I know you're the world's greatest living director, but go ahead and show my dad's all his flaws. So I'm a little skeptical. I can't wait. I hope it happens, but I don't know.
I had no idea that Tom Hanks was supposed to be in a biopic or portraying Dean Martin. And this is like, I'm reading an article in Variety from 1998.
This is mostly just him at the roasts.
Yeah, I had no idea. And this has been like just shelved for what, like 2 decades? I had no clue.
Yeah, it was years ago. There was an interview relatively recently. Like, I listened to all the stuff that Marty was throwing in close to Flower Moon. I believe it was Scott Feinberg. I'll try to find it for you for next week, Mike. But the reporter interviewer did say, hey, among projects you never could do, how about Dino? And Marty just gave a quick answer to it. Didn't go into detail, but essentially they just couldn't get the schedule, couldn't get the money. But I remember kept thinking, again, Hank's working with Marty for the first time. But I kept thinking Travolta, Sinatra would be a home run. I mean, Travolta can be polarizing, but he can sing and he can dance. I can imagine him as Frank Sinatra.
Adnan, you're the best, man. Thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the week and the start of the NHL playoffs. We'll do this again next week.
Yeah, can't wait, fellas. Go Canucks. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. That's Adnan Virk here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
Adnan briefly mentioned Jontay Porter.
Yeah.
And Jontay Porter got banned by the NBA yesterday.
For life.
Yeah, it never said for life.
It was implied.
I know, but like banned by the league, I think it's essentially going to be for life because it's not like Jontay Porter is like, in 7 years, I'll be back, right? Like, it's not going to happen. I don't think he'll ever play an NBA game again. The NBA's investigation found that Porter revealed information about his own health to a known sports bettor ahead of a March 20th game against the Sacramento Kings. Another bettor, privy to the information, placed an $80,000 same-game parlay bet that featured unders on Porter's stats and would win $1.1 million, and this is according to the NBA. Porter played 3 minutes in that game before leaving with an illness. The bet was not paid out by DraftKings, and so there was more. It wasn't just that game. There was other stuff. The sheer stupidity of all this is my main takeaway. Whoever was placing these bets, unless they knew literally nothing about the sports betting industry, had to know that these bets would be flagged. Jontay Porter had to know they'd be flagged. And the reason I say that is because it's Jontay Porter.
Yeah.
Who bets 80 grand on a Jontay Porter related prop parlay?
And the answer was Jontay Porter or one of Jontay Porter's associates.
And then Jontay Porter is, I can't even say his name anymore, leaving games where people have placed unders on his stats. He's just leaving them. Mm-hmm. He's just, all right, listen, I love a good flim flam. You know, I love movies where a bunch of guys get together and beat a casino.
Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
Ocean's 12?
Yeah.
Ocean's 13?
Yeah.
Ocean's 14?
Yeah. But you got to be smart. The people running sports books are not stupid. Their lives are full of scammers trying to take advantage of them. They're not like, oh, wow, someone just bet 80 grand on a Jontay Porter-related parlay. That person must be a huge fan of his.
Oh, aren't they lucky?
Whoa. Oh, look, the bet won. Well, you just got to tip your hat, I guess, right? Yeah. Like, it is, to me, it's just, I am offended on behalf of all the cheats out there who put in the work.
The good cheats. The savvy cheats.
The cheats who just, who, you know, they take care of the fundamentals. They'll be like, hey, you think anyone, like, might get onto this?
The cheaters that look after the little things.
Can you imagine the stupidity it takes, or the greed? I mean, greed, but also mostly stupidity that it takes to be like, hey, I've got a little bit of inside information about Jontay Porter, and I'm going to make a bet on a bunch of his props, and that bet is going to be a sizable bet. I'm going to put a lot of money at risk, and the payoff is going to be $1.1 million. Do you think they might look into this if I win?
Isn't this the crazy part? Like, anyone with half a brain. Seriously, though, anyone with half a brain. And here's the thing. When they investigated Jontay Porter and went back, they uncovered that he had a, I believe it was, so it was, I can't remember which one. One of them was, the bets were placed on DraftKings, right?
I think one of them was, yeah.
Anyway, he had his own separate account on FanDuel, and it was revealed that he was an active gambler. Mm-hmm. Not on the NBA himself, in his own account,
yeah.
But he was routinely placing sports bets, which leads you to believe that he kind of understood a little bit about the industry and the books and how the game works. For him to
maybe they don't know what happens behind the scenes. Maybe they thought there was so much action
that it just would slip through.
He was like, I bet a lot of people bet on my props.
Yeah.
How do you think his brother feels about all this? He's got a brother in the league too.
Not great, Bob. I'm going to say he probably doesn't feel great about it. Mm-hmm.
You think he was like telling his brother, like, hey, Michael, why are you doing
Michael
this?
Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
I think he's going to try and distance himself from this as much as humanly possible. Because he's still got a fledgling NBA career. The other thing now, I got to wonder, at what point does one of these punishments like serve as the warning shot? Because this isn't the first one, not by a long shot.
Well, the Shane Pinto one is kind of related. I mean, it's not as stupid as this one, but it was careless.
Pretty stupid.
When you've got, like, the account is in your name and you let your buddy bet on it.
And
your buddy's like, I'm betting on NHL games.
But in the NFL, Calvin Ridley had to sit out an entire season due to gambling-related issues. Mm-hmm. In the Premier League, Ivan Toney for Brentford missed over half of a Premier League campaign due to stuff. It's not like there haven't been noteworthy punishments before.
It's just so easy to gamble now.
It is.
Well, the Leafs knew it was coming, too, right? Like, they prepared for this.
They must have known that there'd be, I don't want to call them scandals, but incidents. Like, this isn't, I wouldn't call this a scandal. This is just like, how can you be so dumb?
It's too stupid to be a scandal.
It's like it's like an insider trading case where there's like a tiny, junior mining stock or something, right?
Right.
And then like Halford gets a tip from his buddy, and Halford's never bought a stock in his life, and he's like,
I don't know how.
Life savings on this one.
Can you go to the store?
Like, do you think they might look into that?
It's like Kramer on the subway. Loves the slop. Remember? It's mata Zamata.
What?
I don't know how.
It's mata Zamata.
Oh, he got a tip on a
on a horse.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
come on. Yeah. No, you are right. Andy, you've made two good points today.
Thank you.
That's very well done. No, but with the Porter thing, I do wonder if the spin here is going to be, this was such an anomaly because of how, let's be honest, insignificant a player he was and how stupid he was, that it might just be a one-off. Like, he would, not only was he like barely in the NBA, but he was also doing stuff that was so stupid that it's almost its own classification of scandal, if you want to say it that way.
I like this text. What would be a reasonable amount to bet on that parlay? $2. And then it's not even worth it.
They're called micro bets. The reason they put,
there's no upside to it at all. Because you're going to win like $100, and you're still risking a guy's career.
I think maybe when you see a Jonte Porter bet, what you do is you throw it in with like a million other ones, and then create like a 19-player parlay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to bet that egregious a sum of money on Jonte Porter, it's obviously going to raise eyebrows and red flags across the board, and it did.
We got another text in. You are naive if you think this isn't actively happening all the time in all sports right now. I just hope they're being smarter about it.
Did I not just say it was happening actively in all sports? I just ran through like 8 different punishments. Who's naive now?
Guys, don't be dumb though. Don't get greedy.
Just listen.
Spread your bets out.
Yeah.
Bets that, find people. You got to get the right beards involved, right?
Maybe he thought if he bet against his own team, it'd be okay. Like, I didn't bet that we'd win. I bet that we'd lose.
Mm. That's always a great, when they say that, they're like, well, I didn't bet against us. I'm like, that's not really the point. Like, it doesn't matter if you bet against yourself.
Well, the thing in Office Space, isn't it? They just take like a penny every day.
Yes.
That's what they got to start doing. Then you won't get caught.
They got the algorithm wrong though. It took too many pennies.
Right.
Okay, we're up against.
Do you know that was like a Superman, maybe Superman 3? Did they mention that in the movie? Like it happened in Superman 2?
Did they?
I'm just amazed you're referencing a comic book movie.
No, it was when, this makes more sense than the Superman where Richard Pryor was kind of the villain.
They did it in, this sounds familiar, they did it in Superman 3.
Superman 3. Yeah. It wasn't very good, but Richard Pryor was at his height at that point, and he could just be like in anything, and it would make a lot of money. He had this thing he knew about, something they were calling computers. Ooh. Back then.
I've heard of those.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal. Okay, coming up on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650, we're diving straight back into the hockey talk, straight back into the Canucks talk. Canucks are in action. It is the final game of the regular season tonight, 5 o'clock from Winnipeg. Pre-game, post-game, actual game, all right here on Sportsnet 650. Jim Toth from CJOB Radio in Winnipeg is going to join us to break things down from the Jets side of thing and look ahead to the Jets opening round series against Nathan MacKinnon and the Colorado Avalanche. You're listening to the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
Listen, I love a good flim-flam.
Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We'll dive deep into all that's happening with the Vancouver Canucks. Listen 12 to 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
.35 on a Thursday. Very brooding music, very haunting.
Playoff time, baby.
It's true.
Time to get nervous.
The looming playoffs. What'd you think I was gonna say, dog?
This is like you're going for Spectre.
No.
Or impending Phantom. One of the two.
That's out of my lexicon now. Okay. I don't use it anymore.
Alfred, do you remember when Larry Brooks kind of fired back at you when you used the phrase looming specter?
Yeah, I used it in reference to Henrik Lundqvist's contract.
And he's like, I don't know what you mean by looming specter. And he's like, Alfred's like, neither do I. I don't. I'm sorry, I just use words automatically.
It just sounds really cool, so I used it.
What if we have Mark Specter coming up in a segment?
That's a tough one, too. I was ultimately proven right because they had to buy him out of that contract. I was like, see, I told you. It was looming.
Now it's a specter.
It's a ghost.
It's not looming anymore.
You are listening to the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour two of the program. Jim Toth from CJOB Radio in Winnipeg is going to join us in just a moment here. The highlight of hour two. Hour two is brought to you by Primetime Craft Beer. Meticulously brewed for quality and taste, Primetime is full flavor without compromise. You can get some at a liquor store near you, or you can visit the brewery to see how it's made. The Canucks are in Winnipeg tonight, 5 o'clock from Winnipeg. Pre-game, post-game, actual game. You can hear it all right here on Sportsnet 650. Joining us now from CJOB Radio in Winnipeg, Jim Toth here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you? You bring up a valid point subtly that lost in the John Tortorella, Larry Brooks' back and forths were Larry Brooks' role in the whole things.
Mm-hmm. He was very adversarial in that situation.
A little curmudgeon.
Yeah.
And I like Larry.
And he's
a very nice
down.
Man. But yeah, it's always, you know, how you doing, Larry? All right. Why wouldn't I be? Good to see.
He's got like that old gruff newspaper guy.
Like all
the guys.
Jonah Jameson.
I think all the newspaper guys of that era prided themselves on being like the most miserable people, but it was like, you're right, it was like curmudgeonly. It was kind of like, it was just their sense of humor in everything. What's going on with the Jets?
Well, they're rolling, gentlemen. They've won 7 in a row, and I think I've been on your show well enough or long enough now, and appreciate you always having me back, after an 0-5-1 start where we couldn't take enough of their going nowhere and a first-round exit again to a seven-game winning streak, including shutouts over Dallas and Colorado before getting it done against Seattle to solidify second in the Central. So it's kind of about 2 months ago I said this team just needs to get into the playoffs because we're going back and forth on what they are and who they are and recent history and playoff disappointments with this core and everything else to the point of they just need to start the playoffs and go on a run and see what they can get done. I really think this is a good team. I think it's a legitimate top 10 team in the National Hockey League and a contender just as much as any team in the West. But after some playoff disappointments the past couple of years, they just need to get in and show what they can do because everybody here in Winnipeg is as happy as they are with the season they've had is constantly waiting for the other shoe to fall just given the recent lack of success in the postseason.
As it pertains to tonight, sorry, I just wanted to get a couple things out of the way for tonight's game. Who's actually going to play for the Winnipeg Jets tonight?
Well, I'm actually going to be the sixth defenseman because I think they're going to rest everybody else. So that's surprising because I can't skate yet. But everybody who's usually a healthy scratch is going to play. So Nate Schmidt will be back in, the former Canuck. Colin Miller will be back in. Rasmus Kupari, who came over in the LA trade with Dubois, he's going to get in a game. David Gustafson, who's been filling in for Nito Niederreiter, who just returned to the lineup on Tuesday against Seattle. Gustafson's going to be back in. Cole Perfetti will be back in. So everybody who's usually a healthy scratch will play. There are seven players who will be playing in their 82nd game tonight. We all kind of know that in the NHL circles, that's a sense of pride amongst players. So Rick Bonus said yesterday, all seven guys that have a chance to play all 82 regular season games will be in the lineup as well tonight. So we're still waiting to see who comes out. Morgan Barron was banged up and left the game on Tuesday. He's day-to-day. I would presume he's not going to play tonight, and then anybody else who's nursing something. So if you want to go through the lineup and see who has a chance to play all 82, those seven players will play. If you want to look at the five healthy scratches they have, all five of those players will get back in, and then we're waiting for the morning skater, at least to hear from Bonus to see who exactly that will be.
Do you think the two teams will have almost a gentleman's agreement? Like, hey, guys, we're going to play this game, and we're going to kind of look like we're going to try, but let's keep the hitting to a minimum.
Do you think it could be like Nikita Kucherov at the All-Star game this year, where it's just like, let him go, let him ride by? I don't know, really. I would say yes, except JT Miller's in the game, who I absolutely adore and think that the Jets for years could use a guy like that who's willing, you know, chew the wood out of a fence just to go through it. So if he's playing tonight, I kind of don't think so. But I don't think there's going to be it's not going to be the best hockey game. But I watched Toronto and Tampa Bay last night, and there's some things on the line and some probably bonuses and stuff like that. I think it's going to be a hockey game, if you understand that. I don't think it's going to be the most outlandish physical battle and hockey. But I think they're going to play, and I think they're going to try. And, you know, the Jets want to win this game. But I also think that, you know, you guys know as well as I do, if you try to not get hurt, that's when you're going to get hurt. So I think it's going to be a hockey game. I just don't think it's going to be a dynamic one.
Okay, I've been dying to ask someone about this game. How did Winnipeg go into Colorado recently and beat the Avs 7-0?
Well, that was just as surprising here as well. But I'll tell you what I like about this team compared to years past. They have depth. And when you're looking at the teams in the West and the Edmontons and even Vancouver's with their top six, and of course Colorado with that top line and that power play, they have some really good skill and talent in the top six here, but it doesn't rival like McDavid's or Elias Pettersson and JT Miller or Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen, but they have depth here. They have four guys on the fourth line that have 11 goals each. I don't know of a fourth line in the National Hockey League that has all double digit in goals. They went into Colorado and they played their system. This is a team that has struggled to be solid defensively. But when they are, when Rick Bonus first got here for the first 3 months last year and the first 3 months this year, they were the best 5-on-5 team in the National Hockey League, or top three, when they try to get away from their system. And that's what I think they really found out during the 05-1 run. Connor Hellebuck talked about this, and then Kyle Connor did this week when they were asked about the 7-game winning streak and what turned around. And they said, we had a video session on the road and we were 05-1. And it wasn't so much that we didn't know what to do. It was, oh, this is what we're not doing again. And that's how we find success. They're very solid defensively. Their gaps are really good. And when those gaps are gone, they struggle. That's what they did to Colorado. I will say this. I don't think Colorado will play as bad as they did against Winnipeg in the first round on that game where they pumped them 7-0. But I also think that if Winnipeg is going to win this series, they play exactly like they did. Colorado didn't play well, but Winnipeg played exceptionally well. They didn't give any gaps in down the ice. They exited their zone quickly, and their forecheck is what the Rick Bonus system is. When their forecheck is rolling, it creates turnovers, and that's how they pounced on the Avs. So I know that Colorado didn't play well in that game, but I also know Winnipeg played exceptionally well. And I'll even argue the game before that, the 3-0 shutout in Dallas, if they could bottle that, this is going to be a Stanley Cup run. They absolutely eliminated any chance of the Dallas getting anything going in the offensive end. They defended so well that it just led to the few opportunities that got them a 3-0 win. So It was surprising how they pounded Colorado, but if you watched the game and saw how Colorado played and how Winnipeg played so solid defensively, it wasn't that much of a shock at the end when the game was done how both teams played.
So we all know that a common narrative in Winnipeg this season has been ticket sales and fan interest, and there's been a number of times where maybe even the future of the franchise in Winnipeg was kind of loosely thrown into the conversation. We all know that Winnipeg has lost a team before, and we don't want to see the Winnipeg Jets leave town again. So what is it, do you have like an update on that story? Because I imagine that the fans are pretty excited about the playoffs. Has it helped them sell any more season tickets for next season? Is there less of a worry now compared to maybe a few months ago?
Well, I'll start by saying, well, first of all, Gary Bettman came to town and said everything's fine. So just like Arizona, everything's fine, guys. There's nothing wrong and nothing to see here.
Great to hear that.
But that being said, having lived here for close to 20 years now, and being really stunned when I first moved here, telling me, well, the NHL is going to come back. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, it's not. But so it's been a journey, right? And this is really such a unique situation that the way the tickets were handled, they basically didn't need a sales staff. You had to sign a 3 to 5 year deal, and they went out of their way to not have corporate support. This was a Manitoba thing. Like, this is a blue collar town, a lunch pail town. And people love the idea of having a piece of this. So people bought season tickets 3 to 5 years at a time in groups of four, and they would share them throughout the year. That was a big mistake, and Mark Chipman has admitted that back then they should have sold more corporate sponsorship. But I was here back then, and I know that wouldn't have gone over well with this fan base. You've got to keep in mind that those were 3 and 5 year deals back in 2011 from fans, and there was an 8,000 person waiting list. It was really smart business at the time, but long term it wasn't the way to go. This is a town that, you know, the economy's hit hard, and Mark Chipman's told me that himself when he was on my own show, that the last thing I want to do when people are struggling with interest rates and to put enough food on the table or pay for gas in their tank is to say buy a hockey ticket. He thinks this is a 2 to 3 year plan to get the building sold out again. That being said, they've been selling out. Winning does that, right? And so they've been selling out the last few games. Seattle was even sold out on Tuesday night. I'm very interested to see how the playoffs go, but I think it was a little bit overblown. And on True North's own sort of discretion on how they presented it, they've hit two sort of foul balls when they referenced images in a video, and Mark said that was a mistake. And when they referenced the team leaving in 96 and the passion we need back in the building and all that, they never should have referenced that. And it's been blown out of proportion. This team isn't leaving, right? Mark Chipman, for those who don't know, is really rejuvenating the downtown. He's building a hotel. He's just bought a Portage Place Mall, it's called, where it's not the best kind of downtown element you want in there. And he's turning it into a medical facility. He's turning it into a grocery store. It's all tied to the Jets. And with David Thompson involved in this, the Jets are never leaving. But what he was saying quite adamantly is it's not sustainable this way. And 9,000 tickets isn't going to do it. They need 13,000 season tickets. I've been told they've been very surprised how people have reacted by buying tickets for next year. But that lies the problem, right? They need the corporate sponsors. And what they are struggled with, the last I've heard, even about 2 months ago, was getting those corporate companies back on board. And I think we all know, or at least the stuff I found out in researching this, guys, is that a lot of corporations are getting out of tickets. It's just not beneficial. Their employees and who they would use to schmooze clients with or just to give employees would prefer an Amazon gift card for $500 than two tickets to a game. The pendulum of corporate sponsorship has shifted. So he's got that going against him, and the fact they didn't do enough of it when the team first came back. So it's a grind and it's a build. But I hear it's coming back. I hear some corporations have stepped up. I know the fans have. So I was never worried that this team would leave. I was more concerned about how they were going to get that corporate support back. I don't have an update on that for next year, but I've heard they've made some inroads, and that was one of the things Gary Bettman was here doing in town, was talking to corporates about that. But fan-wise, it's there, and I would be shocked, to be honest with you, if the playoff games aren't sold out. But it's tough times, right? It's hard to sort of manage interest rates, and I think people need to keep in mind, and especially in this province, if you have a season ticket and your interest rates go up $2,200 or $1,800 a month, that's your ticket, right?
Yep. Real quick,
that definitely hasn't affected anyone in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Definitely
well,
never happened.
Here was like, another
is housing
element, right?
Is housing a challenge in the Vancouver area? It might be a little bit.
Aren't you two living together now?
Well, yeah, we have to.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the only way we can live in the city. Yeah,
bunk my beds co-host at Jets at noon. I'm like, we should get an apartment together. Yeah. Like,
bunk beds are surprisingly affordable. Hey, Jim, thanks for doing this today, man. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll touch base next week or the week after when the playoffs are well underway.
Yeah, sorry to talk the economics. Should be a good one tonight, and really excited for what the Canucks and the Jets could do in the playoffs. Thanks for having me, guys. All the best.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Jim. We appreciate it. That's Jim Toth from CJOB Winnipeg Radio here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I wanted to ask him about Cole Perfetti, but we ran out of time because they don't draft very often high in top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Perfetti's one of those guys. He was 10th overall in 2020, and he's just kind of been like in and out of the lineup over the last couple months. So I was curious. But alas, we'll have to wait and see. I do believe, as he mentioned, that Perfetti's going to play tonight against Vancouver Canucks when the Jets and the Canucks play 5 o'clock from Winnipeg.
So if you're just joining us now, we still don't officially know when the Canucks are going to play game one, but we do know that they're going to play the Nashville Predators. According to reports, Sunday is likely, but for now there's only 4 official game times for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Obviously, there's 8 series to start the first round. So we know that it's going to kick off 2 o'clock our time on Saturday between the Islanders and the Hurricanes. Right after that, 5 o'clock start our time. The Leafs and the Bruins are back in action, and you knew that they'd get the Saturday night slot. Sunday morning our time, it's a 12:30 Eastern time game. It's an afternoon game. Which makes sense because it's a Florida game. Florida and the Tampa Bay Lightning meet, and that one is in Sunrise. And then noon our time on Sunday, so another afternoon affair, it's the Rangers hosting the Washington Capitals. So we don't know if there's going to be any more games added to the Saturday slate or to the Sunday slate, if some of them will be kicked to Monday or Tuesday. Originally, there was talk that the Canucks and the Preds could kick things off on Tuesday at Rogers Arena, but I think both teams pushed back on that, and they were like, man, that would be a long break, especially for the Preds who were done Monday. I don't know if they want to sit around for 8 days, and I think, you know, you also don't want to be in a situation where you're the tired team. Whoever wins the series goes into the second round, and you just played a bunch of games in a few days to finish off the series, and then you got to go right into the second round. So, regardless of, you know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes, building availability, travel schedules that you have to take into account, broadcasting schedules. We don't know all the complications that go into it. But this one is particularly complicated because there's 2 arenas that we're talking about in Vancouver and Nashville. And I think it's safe to say that neither arena was like, our teams are definitely making the playoffs, so leave the arena completely available for that time. Like, that didn't happen, I think.
Right.
More so on the Nashville side, which may go to tell you that this Predators team, you know, And frankly, for the Canucks too, right? You remember Jim Rutherford at the beginning of the season. If everything goes right, I think we might have a playoff team, right?
Did a good Rutherford there.
And it was, you know, it was the quote of the press conference. And I asked the question, by the way. It was the only press conference I went to, and I got the money quote. No big deal. And I think the Preds were like, they're like, we're rebuilding. halfway through the season, it was kind of like, yeah, the Preds are about exactly where we thought they'd be, and then they weren't allowed to go to U2, and they go on this run that helps them get into the playoffs. I mean, their overall record still isn't, like, sterling. I don't think there's anything that this team does, maybe outside of, like, goaltending when Saros is on, that is, like, incredible. Like, there's no, like, well, you got to watch out for their power play. It's incredible, right? They've just played solid enough hockey. Mm-hmm. in order to get themselves into that final wild card, the one of the wild card spots, and good on them for doing it. I think the Canucks should beat the Preds on paper. If you look at it, even if you say, okay, you know, the defense, they both have one really elite pair. In Nashville, you got Josi with McDonough. In Vancouver, of course, you got Quinn Hughes with Filip Hronek. You could say that their goaltending is elite with Thatcher Demko and Juuse Saros. It's up front where the Canucks on paper have the advantage, and it's up front where the Canucks need to take advantage of their depth and their elite talent over the Nashville Predators.
Coming up on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, we're going to talk to Thomas Drantz from The Athletic Vancouver, our first of many looks at this Nashville Predators opponent, first round of the playoffs. We'll talk to him about tonight's game in Winnipeg and then what to look forward to from the Canucks side of things as well. That's coming up at 8. And then at 8:30, we're going to read your What We Learns. No contest today, but it is your chance to be on the radio. Send them in, hashtag it WWL. Tell us what you learned over the last 24 hours in sports. By the way, if you have a NBA What We Learned, be a good time to get it in because we have talked exactly zero NBA.
I watched.
We talked Jonte.
Non-Jonte Porter division.
I watched a bit of that Chicago-Atlanta game yesterday, and that game was a case against the play-in series.
There is a reason.
It was horrible basketball, and I'm watching this game and going, like, does Atlanta know how to defend? Are they trying to defend?
They do not, and they were not. They were probably trying, but they don't know how to defend. They're terrible. They're not a good basketball team. They are the 10th best team in the East, and they earned it on merit. They were a very, very sub-mid, that's a new one, sub-mid team. And there are articles out there right now being written about how the NBA needs to fix its playoffs because it's not – the play-in tournament has been, I would not say, a smashing success for the NBA since it has been brought in. There have been some moments – but in large part, the teams that are 9 and 10 are the ninth place team and the 10th place team are the ninth place team and the 10th place team for a reason. They're not very good.
Although, you know what's funny is that the Sixers qualify as a 7th team, barely.
Yep.
And they're going to play the New York Knicks. And because the Sixers had such a bad record without Embiid, they dropped down the standings, but now Embiid's back.
And
now they are slight, so they're the 7th seed going up against the number 2 Knicks, and the Sixers are the slight favorite in that series.
So if you want to weigh in on that, What We Learns, hashtag them WWL, Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. Before we go to break, I need to tell you about JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free no-obligation quote. Visit them online at janpro.ca. Final hour coming up. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet. 650.